Let's look at John chapter 11 for a few minutes. I understand that because of the nature of who makes up this congregation tonight and what follows, this message will not be a typical full-length feature. John chapter number 11, please. And we're going to be reading. But I want to give you some background real quick. Some of you should know that Jesus is friends with a family in a town called Bethany, a couple miles from Jerusalem. The family is made up primarily of two sisters and a brother, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And Lazarus is very close to death at the beginning of chapter 11, and Jesus finds out about it. And I suppose if I were Jesus, what a sentence, I would probably have dropped everything because I want to be understood as someone who is sensitive. You know, especially as a pastor, you drop everything, if at all possible, because you don't want to be seen as an insensitive pastor. And Jesus lingers for a couple of days. As a matter of fact, by the time he finally gets to the tomb of Lazarus, to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Lazarus has been dead how long?
4 days.
4 days. There's something specific and Jewish about the fourth day. It is on the fourth day that usually on the third day that usually, according to Jewish belief, the spirit no longer dwells around the body and departs for the other world. And so Jesus waits just long enough so that it's not only late, but way too late. In chapter 11 of John, and I want you to notice, please, in verse number 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's got a good case of death, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, here we go now, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, and I'll spare you the theatrics, although it would probably help, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. How obedient. How obedient is death to the Prince of Life? What a refreshing idea. And he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let them go. Let him go. I want to replay for you, reread for you, verse number 41 and the beginning of verse number 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of those who stand by, I said it. You have just heard reading from the only book God ever wrote. It's perfect. It is perfect for the need. It is perfect for the need of the hour and the need of the heart. This is God's holy word, and we are most thankful for it. Not a mistake can be found in it. And Jesus says in verse number 41 that he's thankful that the Father heard his prayer. Now, it has a very specific context. I know that. You know that. It's referring to the occurrence here at the tomb of Lazarus, where Jesus is praying, and he tells us in the very next verse that he is praying publicly, and to be honest with you, he's praying publicly for a show. That's what it says. It's hard for us to swallow. We don't want to hear it. We've always heard when you pray publicly, you don't pray for the benefit of those who hear you, but Jesus disagrees with you. If you believe that. Sometimes you pray to build the faith of those listening to you. And here Jesus says something that is timeless. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we're going to read this verse and we're going to see it as very time specific and nothing else. Join me one more time in prayer. God, bless the reading of your word and the drive home the truths found in it. There are people in here for a myriad of reasons, but ultimately is because of your great sovereign hand. And we trust you that everyone that should be here tonight is here, and everyone who is here can hear and believe something. So grant to us open eyes and open hearts in these next few minutes, and may we behold the wonderful works of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The timeless truth found in this passage is that God always hears the prayers of His Son. There is never a prayer prayed from the lips of Jesus that are not answered by the Father. Now, I will receive your emails tonight, and that is fine. We will have fruitful discussions about His prayer in the garden. We will have beneficial discussions concerning His prayer on the cross. Why have you forsaken me? But the truth still stands that every time the Son spoke, it was with the confidence that the Father heard Him. And I want you to hear Jesus' words again. I thank you, Father, that you've heard me. Jesus was incredibly confident that God the Father hears His prayers, and He's thankful for it. Are you thankful that God the Father hears your prayers? Are you thankful that every time you stumble to the coffee pot in the morning that God hears your prayers? The first ones may be groans. It may be pleadings for forgiveness for what you said when you stubbed your toe. But you are thankful that God hears your prayers. And it is based off of His good character and not off of our good praying. It is based off of the fact that God the Father is good and He keeps His promises. It is based on the fact that the Son of God pleased the Father in all things and prays on behalf of those who were once dead and are now to be brought back to life. I don't have time, and it would be foolish for me to sit here and try to prove to you that most everything that occurs in the book of John not only has a literal fulfillment, but also has a very spiritual significance behind it. And if you don't believe me, consider verse 25, where he says, "Did I not tell you?" Verse 22, "I know that even now whatever that you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said, "Thy brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." A very visible, physical, future fulfillment. But Jesus comes back and sort of corrects her. Verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He totally takes her mind off of the death of her brother and the hopefully sometime at the last day resurrection of her brother, and brings to her mind a very spiritual reality. The one who believes in Christ never dies. And so when Jesus prays at the tomb of Lazarus, he is not just saying, "Father, thank you for hearing my prayer about Lazarus." He's saying, "Father, thank you for hearing my prayer concerning all those who were dead and will live." And so let's prove it. Look at John 17. For all intents and purposes, we're halfway through. John 17. This is a prayer only recorded in the book of John. It is a prayer probably prayed by Jesus on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. For in chapter 18, he crosses the brook Kidron in verse 1 into the Garden of Gethsemane. So probably he prayed this sometime after leaving the upper room and before entering the Garden of Gethsemane. That will not change your life. I just wanted you to know. John 17, verse number 6, Jesus is praying, "I have manifested thy name unto men." He's praying to his Father again. "Which you gave me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Now, I'm going to step in front here because I don't want to lose your attention. "Now they have known that all things whatever you have given me are of thee." Verse 8, "I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that it came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." Now look what he says. "I pray for them." This is the Son of God who says, "I am thankful that my Father always hears me." He hears me concerning dead people who will soon live. This is that very Son of God who said that I know that I have the Father's ear and He hears me. And He says, thank you, Father, in chapter 11 for hearing me. And what does He say? I pray for thine in verse 9, which thou hast given me. Verse 10, all mine are thine and thine are mine and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Did you see that? The request of the Son of God to God the Father was keep those you've given me. I'm going to tell you what thrills me tonight. I'm going to tell you what thrills the heart of this pastor tonight. Some of you were here a year ago. In direct answer, for the prayer of the Son to the Father that the Lord would keep you. If you're a Christian in here tonight, I'm talking about truly born again, we will not have to go and look for you with the FBI. The Father is able to keep you. And in 1 year, if you haven't PCS'd, ETS'd, or gone to your reward in the sky, I will tell you that we will look out and see that the Lord has been successful at keeping those that are His. And He has done so in answer to a prayer from the Son in a garden 2,000 years ago. And it is because the Father hears the prayers of the Son that you are born again and I am born again. You are a gift to the Son from God the Father. This is both a Christmas message and a Thanksgiving message, because if you look at verse 1 of this very same chapter, please see these words: spoke Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Friend, if you're born again in here tonight, you are God's gift to Jesus. You are an answer to prayer. In being here and being kept by the power of God to salvation, it is no accident that you are still a believer in Christ. No, friends, the reason you are a believer in Christ tonight, if you were ever a believer in Christ, is because God the Father heard God the Son's prayer in the garden, and we are thankful, as Jesus is, that everything the Son asks for, He gets. I thank you, Father, that you hear the prayer of your Son. That's a lot to be thankful for. If Jesus doesn't get His prayer answered, you and I get to go to hell forever. So I, too, am thankful with the Son that the Father hears the prayers of the Son. Here He is praying still. And He says in verse number 13, and now I come to these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Friends, I'm going to give you a few quick ideas here how you can know if you're kept by the power of God, or results that you have, results that we can see. These will be very quick. Results that we will see by those who are born again in John chapter 3 and kept by the power of God, by the Father, in answer to prayer to the Son in John 17. Number one, it is found in verse number 13, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, we don't always understand our kind and gracious Heavenly Father. We don't always understand why He takes His time sometimes taking care of things in our life. We don't even sometimes understand why it is that He takes the time He does and then does something completely in our mind wrong. But this know that He will not lose you. We are not doing the keeping tonight. He will not lose you. And you will find in the bottom of your life somewhere that your joy is fulfilled in answer to prayer of the Father to the Son. Why? Because He prayed so in John 17:13. Now, for those who might think, no, He's talking about the disciples, I will agree with you that He's talking about the disciples. But would you please look at verse 20? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. How much scripture did Jesus write? How many verses? I'm talking about the man Christ Jesus. How many verses of scripture did He write? Zero. You, my friend, if you're a born-again believer tonight, it is because you believe the words of the apostles. You are an answer to prayer according to John 17:20, when Jesus says, I pray not only for these apostles that you've given me, but for all those that will believe on me through their word. You and I tonight are born again because of an answer to prayer right here in John 17. We are an answer to prayer from the Father to the Son. A prayer prayed from the Son to the Father and an answer. And Jesus says in John 11, Lord, I'm grateful that you always hear me. I thank you that you hear me, but you always hear me. I'm thankful that you always hear me. How many of you are grateful that the Father always hears the Son? I am. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jude 24 and 25. He is able to keep us from falling. I'm not trying to hold on. I'm in his grip, and his grip will not slip. And it's all because the Father hears the prayers of the Son. And we are thankful. I say if thanks is good enough for Jesus to give to God, it's good enough for us to give to God. There's a lot more we could say, but I won't. I will mention that in verse 15 through 17, there's a lot about sanctifying his own through the Word of God. There's talk in verses 21 through 26 about us being one. I need you. You need me. We need each other. If you're a born-again believer, you are incredibly necessary. And you are, oh, by the way, an answer to prayer, prayed by the Son to the Father. And the Father answering in the affirmative to the Son that he would keep all those whom God has given to the Son. You are a gift to the Son, and you are an answer to prayer from the Son to the Father, prayed by the Son to the Father, and an answer given from the Father to the Son. You and I ought to be very thankful tonight that Jesus has a good prayer life. And if prayer and praise is a part of deity's life to deity, if God the Son can pray to God the Father, and if God the Son can give thanks to God the Father, how much more should I, a mortal man, made of flesh, made of dirt, how much more should I pray and praise to my Heavenly Father? I need him desperately, and so do you. So I am grateful. I am grateful that I, with Jesus, can say, Father, thank you for hearing the Son's prayers. Because of the work of Jesus on the cross, John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We are believers today. We are not going to perish today because we have been drawn by the wind of the Holy Spirit, John 3:8. We didn't see it coming. We didn't work it up. We weren't intelligent enough. We didn't go looking. Even when we were seeking Christ, it was God, the heavenly hound, seeking for us. And we are an answer to prayer. You and I, who are born-again believers, are an answer to prayer prayed by the Son. We are not an afterthought. We were planned for. And if you in here tonight are not part of that crowd, I cannot think of a better time to believe on Christ and be born again. It is free in every way. It was not free for the Son of God. It was not free for God the Father. And I am grateful, very, very grateful, that I can, with the Son, look up to heaven and say, thank you for hearing Jesus' prayers. Amen. Let's bow together.